Back here on the Hy-Vee Fort Dodge Coaches Corner on Sunny 99.7 online, yourfortdodge.com. I'm Rob Jones of The Place to Be. That is Hy-Vee. Glad to be back here in Hy-Vee. Glad to be back here on the Coaches Corner. Baseball and softball right around that corner as we get into it next week. And one of the teams that we want to talk about is making some splashes in the preseason. And, of course, is the Fort Dodge Dodger softball program joining me to talk about their season that is upcoming and will open this week in a game you can hear on Sunny 99.7 Tuesday night in the opener hosting Sioux City Helan. I'll have the call of that game. Joining me now, Coach Andy Adams, the Hall of Famer. Coach, I appreciate the time.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, good to have you here on the program. Good to talk to you again. It's been too long.
Absolutely. I'm telling you right now, we are so blessed with the opportunity of being given, you know, the chance to play. I know that these kids, you know, and literally everyone across, you know, the state has worked for this season. It's definitely a different season, but the second we got on the dirt, it just felt great. So we're pretty excited.
Well, any alternative is better than the alternative of not having anything at all. That was kind of what I think we both were afraid of. And so we've got a season, and let's talk about that season. You guys come in, you'll open up as the number one team in Class 5A in the state of Iowa for the first time ever in program history. Talk about how do you manage those expectations as the number one team?
Well, I think that it's, you know, obviously it's an honor. To feel, you know, respected from the state in that very manner. We have a lot of very experienced kids coming back. Great pitching, great hitting, great defense. We lost two great seniors that helped lead this team to get them to where they were. But these kids learned a lot, worked a lot in the off season, you know. But and you and I both know, and everybody, you know, we play in a conference. And at a 5A level in which literally any given night, it does not matter who you play, you can get beaten. And so we don't take that lightly. You know, a lot of times we're just not used to, you know, having that expectation of being number one. And we embrace it. We don't see it as, oh no. We don't see it that way at all. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep practicing to get to where we need to be.
Let's talk about the expectations of being number one. You guys have been to the state tournament multiple times in your tenure. You were there last year. I had the honor and privilege of doing those games at the state tournament for you. This year with the number one ranking, is state title the expectation and anything below that falling short?
I think that definitely is something that we have the mindset this year to get that, because, you know, it's like I've told the kids now getting there, though, that's an honor, and that is an expectation now for this team and the work that they've put in. But now, you know, we need to get past the first game, because, you know, for some reason it's like, you know, you get there and it is a different atmosphere for us. Everyone's like, well, you guys play on that field. Well, you know, it's not really, you know, our home field, because we only practice there twice a week. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. But being able to go, we need to make it so that it's just another game, you know, and not celebrate too early is basically what we've talked about. And get to that point where, for our community, you know, winning that title would be absolutely the icing on a wonderful cake, you know, especially in our hometown, on our home field.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. And, you know, you kind of pointed to something that I think may be a factor at times, and I thought might have been a factor last year with such a young nucleus of players. Maybe at the state level, do you feel like maybe the lights have been a little bit too bright? Maybe you haven't played up to expectation because of that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's very intimidating, you know, regardless of who you are, what you do. You know, a lot of people, you know, who may not understand, you know, how hard it is or difficult it is just to even get to state, let alone winning that first game, getting to the points where you need to. But that's also where, if you have heavily laden senior, you know, and upperclassmen, you know, teams, that's where that, you know, that mentality comes into play, where if you've been there many years, then the, you know, the nervousness goes away because we've been here, done that. Let's get down to business. Let's win every pitch.
Now, you returned 6 of 8 positional starters from last year's team, and you returned your top two pitchers, one of which you happen to live with, and your daughter, Jalen. We're going to talk about her in just a minute. But I wanted to ask, you know, with all that returning, all those players went through the disappointment of losing in state last year. Has that been a motivating factor in the offseason?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that first loss hurt, you know, and everyone, you know, they, you know, even though we had swept Valley earlier in the season, which honestly was only 2 weeks prior to that, it wasn't an easy sweep. Nobody can sweep Valley easily, you know, or any other team like
sure.
that. It was a back and forth. And the second that we had heard that we had to play Valley with 9 seniors, I knew. Tom Bakey has won 5, at that point he had won 5 state titles. I mean, it's just, it's something that you just don't take lightly. Oh, we beat them before. You know, again, that's, it doesn't matter. You know, and softball's that game, which is why I love it and why I hate it, because you literally can win any night and you can lose any night. But now, you know, we're hoping we get a little bit of that luck, you know, the ball to bounce our way a little bit, you know, focus on not freezing or messing up in, you know, times that we don't need to. You know, the pitchers definitely want the ball every single time. It doesn't matter if it's Jalen or Haley, they want that ball. They want to be in that circle, you know, to take on that pressure. And all of the girls want to be up to that when it's that time to be able to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think maybe gets lost a little bit is, you know, you talked about how big the moment is at state, and I can attest to it from a media perspective. During the playoffs and during the regular season, I'm up in the booth up there, you know, in the press box with maybe 2 other people, maybe 3 other people. We get to state, and it's a media frenzy. So kind of the picture you painted is absolutely correct. Now, from what I counted on your schedule, you've got 7 teams that are ranked in the preseason on your schedule in various classes. Was that done strategically or specifically with the idea to get you guys ready for a playoff run?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, the second that we found out, there was really not a lot of say in our schedule. We had been split up into 2 groups, Group A and Group B, and we had been put in the group with the Metro teams, Ottumwa, Ames, Marshalltown, Mason City, and then they split the other teams up. And then, of course, you get on the phone and you try to do as many calls as you can to say, hey, can you guys play this night? Can you play this night? It was tough because some schools were able to play on the weekends, some weren't. So you had to respect multiple boundaries, rules, you know, expectations. And, you know, we just tried to get as many of those great teams as we could. There's a lot of solid teams in 4A as well. Carlisle, you know, returning state champions. I don't think they lost a player. We play them twice. You know, and, you know, there's just a lot of teams that we will play that are ranked and going to challenge us, and that's what's going to have to get you ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of looked at that and thought that you were kind of doing that with the eye on how that'll benefit you when you get in difficult situations in the playoffs. Now, your daughter, Jalen Adams, comes back as your number one pitcher, was your ace last year, also had a tremendous year at the plate last year. We've seen kind of what she can do in big moments, and she was great last year. What are you looking for out of Jalen? What's the room for improvement? What's the one thing that you're looking for improvement from her?
More. I mean, it's tough to say, but, you know, with every year, you know, teams just keep getting better and better, especially as hitters. You know, she's definitely, you know, there's a new pitching rule this year where the foot can come completely off the back. And, you know, obviously that's going to help our pitchers, but it's also helping everybody else's
right.
pitchers. So it's not just about throwing hard at the 5A level. It's about spin. It's about, you know, throwing some off speeds to screw everybody up. It's just the work that you have to put in. You have to think to yourself, I know I'm working, you know, but I know that Susie Q and, you know, whoever else is working just as hard, if not more. So she has that mindset. Obviously, it's kind of been instilled to her, you know, in her brain that, you know, you have to outwork. You know, Haley Wills is the same way, where you have to go out there, grab a catcher, let's go. And in these COVID times, it was tough. I couldn't touch them. I couldn't do anything with them. We couldn't have any contact except for here's a workout and try it. And so you have to have players with the will to outwork, and I certainly have that in these kids.
Yeah, and that's a special thing. That's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary, Coach, and that's kind of speaks to the culture of Fort Dodge softball. Let's talk a little bit. You know, we talk about Jalen, we talk about Haley, your pitching staff, but, you know, a pitching staff is only as good as the backstop behind them, and that would be T.K. Dyster. T.K. has been – she was on the Register's watch list for Player of the Year in the spring. Talk about her a little bit.
TK is, you know, she's a special individual. I mean, she is definitely a catcher that everyone's going to want, and I'm just lucky to have her. Our pitchers are lucky, you know, to have her there, and also what you're going to see a lot this year is her playing other positions like third. I'm going to get Martina Lowry in there catching. It's funny to see the two different physiques. TK is a solid. Taller, you know, strong, you know, girl. Right. And you come in with Martina Lowry, and she is smaller in stature. But that little thing, she can throw and get that ball out there. I mean, she is a perfect framer. She's learned from TK. She's learned, you know, when they were younger, we needed two catchers. And so finally I'm looking around, and they're like, all right, to be a catcher, you got to be tough. You have to have the mindset you're going to get the ball hit at you. You know, you're going to get dirt in your face, and, you know, she's that kid that was going to step up too. So, again, great pitching staff, great catching, you know, catchers to have behind them. But I'm going to tell you right now, every single one of these kids can play another position, and that is absolutely necessary. So, you know, to any of the young, you know, people listening or the parents who coach them, get them to do multiple positions because it only helps them be better players at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, developing that second catcher may come in handy for you later. It not only provides you to be able to move TK and look at different things and also to rest her because that position is so difficult and demanding physically. Now, we know, you know, if you follow Fort Dodge softball, you know about Jalen Adams, you know about Haley Wills, you know about TK Dyster, you know about the story, Tori Bennett at shortstop, you know about Logan Snetzer at first base. We know those names are known commodities. Who are some of the kids that are going to grab our attention that we maybe don't know about?
My outfield. You okay. Look at them and they look like they're 10 years old. I mean, my average weight on my team is probably about 110, 120. So you look at them and there's not much to look at, but I kind of just liken this team to little runts that have to fight. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I have one of the best out center fielders, you know, in the game is Sophia Klinger. The catches she made last year were insane, and she does the same thing at practice right now. I've got some kids fighting for spots. I got right now Chloe Wirtz is in left. I got Maya Davis and Malia Lowry, Martinez twin, you know, in right. I got Caitlin Warning, who is constantly putting herself in positions to where, whether it's DP, you know, relief pitcher, and she literally just goes wherever we need her. I mean, with 12 kids, it's hard to scrimmage. I mean, it's hard to put our kids in these positions where they're going to be challenged. So not only do I have these, you know, these players, you know, working like that, I've got kids that are always trying to do multiple spots. I've got Dallas Richardson constantly running the bases. She's also in the outfield. You know, I can't do it without one of these kids. So very blessed.
Absolutely, absolutely blessed. The number one ranked Fort Dodge Dodger softball program head coach Andy Adams. We're going to see them live and in person on Tuesday night, opening up, hosting Sioux City Healing. We'll have that game right here on Sunday 99.7 and online, yourfortdodge.com. A 7 p.m. scheduled start time for the first pitch in that one, right, Coach?
Absolutely.
There you go. Coach Andy Adams has been my guest on the Hy-Vee Fort Dodge Coach's Corner. Coach, I appreciate the time, and good luck on the upcoming season.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.